At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200. Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
But now let's move on to Donna Adelson. And we got a lot more on Donna. And what's going to be interesting, as of our recording of this today and our live broadcast of this today, Donna is going to be deciding whether or not she's going to testify. The judge has given her till noon today on the 3rd to make that decision. So we will see. I'm going to go with the big probably yes, Stacey.
Yes. Oh, my vote is absolutely yes. She is so going to hop on that stand. I think she's just been itching to.
Todd?
I mean, you have to say yes to that. I want to go the other way just in case there's some cash on the line here. But
Let's see. No. Right. I'm going to go with that she's going to testify. I think she's too Donna. She's too full of herself not to.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else you do at this point, quite honestly. I mean, it's gotten pretty bad. We're about to take a look at some testimony from a jailhouse snitch who also testifies to how close her and Donna got. Apparently, you know, kind of fooled Donna a little bit because this woman used that closeness to her advantage. Some will argue that, well, maybe that takes away from the credibility of it. It really doesn't, because they examine the letters, when they examine the handwriting, when all of that, it all points back to Donna. Let's take a look at some of the testimony from the jailhouse snitch, and we'll break it down as we go along. This is the one who says that Donna offered her a grand piano for favorable testimony. Let's take a look.
Were you recently incarcerated in the Leon County Jail with Donna Adelson?
Yes, I was.
And did you become friendly with her during the time that y'all were both in the jail together?
Yes.
How long were you together in the jail?
I can't remember exactly, maybe around 4 months.
Were you in the same pod that whole 4 months?
Yes.
And when you're in the pod together in jail, is it easier to become friendly than it is on the outside?
Yes.
Why is that?
We're together 24/7, so.
Okay, and I want to ask you about whether Mrs. Adelson, during the time that y'all were friendly, ever discussed her case with you.
Yes.
Was her bringing up her case something that she did a lot, or was it only one time?
It was often.
So it was something that she was talking about daily.
Yes.
And was it a bunch of different aspects of her case she would talk about, or only one thing?
It was different aspects.
Donna Adelson ever talk to you when she was talking about her case? Did she ever mention any concerns about the testimony of her son, Rob Adelson?
She did. She said she was extremely worried about his testimony.
Did she ever mention to you a state witness by the name of Catherine Magbanua?
Yes.
And was Ms. Magbanua somebody that was known to you?
Yes, I knew Ms. Magbanua from being locked up with her years before it was brought to her attention.
Brought to her attention that you knew Magbanua?
Yeah.
Okay. And at some point, did the defendant try to recruit you to become a witness for her in this case?
Yes.
How did she first approach you about that?
She asked me if I would be willing to do it, and I said yes.
Okay. And was this topic discussed one time or more than one time?
More than once.
How many times can you estimate? A lot?
A lot, yes.
Okay. And what is it that she wanted you to testify about?
She wanted me to testify about numerous different things about Kay, mostly about Miss Magbanua.
And Miss Magbanua, you knew her by the nickname Kay?
Yes.
Okay. And so she had some things she wanted you to say about Kay.
Correct.
At some point, did she prepare a script for you of exactly what she wanted you to testify to?
She did.
State's Exhibit 62. Do you recognize State 62?
I do.
Is this the script that was prepared for you by Miss Adelson?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Whose notebook is this?
That's mine.
And whose handwriting is this on this first page? Let's
pause it for a second.
I'm sorry, that made me laugh.
Notebook.
You're going places? Not really.
The notebook, in case you're listening to this, they're showing it on the screen, and it says in big gold lettering on a big red backdrop, "You're going places."
Can I show you something? Can we come to me for a second?
Oh, God, do you have the same notebook?
No. But here's what I do have.
I am dazzling.
Do you know what it is? It's my divorce notebook. It's got financial. It's got so you know, I guess I can relate.
You're relating to the jailhouse snitch.
What are you gonna do?
And you were pro burger earlier today. So
wow.
It's been quite a morning for you, Stacey.
Excellent.
Going places. Well, let's see exactly where she's going and what's in that notebook.
Donna's Miss Adelson.
Okay, so she wrote this in your notebook?
Yes, ma'am.
And what is it you were supposed to do with this information?
I was supposed to study it and answer it correctly on the stand for her.
So this is what she wanted you to say in court.
Yes, ma'am.
So, for example, how did you know Donna Adelson? You were supposed to say everyone knew her. She's been on the news. I've seen and heard about this on TV shows and read it in the newspaper over the years.
Coaching them.
Do you read the newspaper?
No.
Okay. Did you know much about her or her case prior to coming in contact with her in the Leon County Jail?
No, ma'am.
And what were you supposed to do with this physical script?
I was supposed to copy it down and give it back to her.
Okay, copy it into your own handwriting?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you provide this item to my office?
Yes, ma'am.
And was it copied and returned to you?
Yes, ma'am.
What did you do with it once you returned with the original to the Leon County Jail?
Return it to her.
It says that you approached Mrs. Adelson and told her you had information about Kay that you wanted to give her. Is that true?
No.
This says that Kay told you that she told Charlie on the night of the murder that some friends of hers went to Tallahassee and killed him. Did Kay ever tell you that?
No, ma'am.
Okay. She asked him to give her the $1/3 million that he was going to pay his sister so that she could relocate with her children to Miami. He went crazy on her. He said that he was going that that was going to be an offer to his brother-in-law not to kill him. Did Kay ever say any of that to you?
No, ma'am.
She convinced him that the murderers think a woman is paying for this. They don't know Charlie. She told him she wouldn't tell her friends who he is. She can keep him safe. So she was, according to this story, extorting money out of Charlie, but he didn't know it. He thought she was his friend, but really she was his enemy. Is that the deal?
Yes, I suppose that's what it's supposed to be.
Let's pause that for a second there.
Okay, Catherine.
Is anyone following what she's trying to say?
No.
I am. Like,
okay.
She's
then tell us.
Well, she's trying to get Drina to say that Catherine was the one who came up with the whole murder thing.
Okay. Hmm. Just for fun, just go kill this guy at random.
It is amazing to me that even in prison, she is trying to control everything.
Yeah.
That's all she knows.
I mean, this doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it's definitely messed up, but yeah, basically she's trying to say, in my understanding, that it was Kay or Catherine's idea to actually go through with the murder.
So Catherine decides she's going to go and take out Dan Markell just for the hell of it. And then say that it was because the Adelsons wanted it to happen. And in doing so, she's going to extort them for $3,000 a month so they don't go and turn on them and say that the Adelsons ordered the hit.
Mm.
Is that it?
That's my understanding.
Wow.
Wow.
That's big.
She's going like...
She's going places.
She's going places.
Score!
That's quite a twisted story. Only like a true, real, malignant narcissist could make up in their mind and then put on to, you know, paper and say, here, say this.
Wow. And trust Drina not to do something with that. Like, I don't get it.
Again, she put cash in a washing machine.
Yeah, this is not somebody who thinks clearly.
So this is someone who also thought that, you know, some random woman in prison or jail or wherever she is, you know, was trustworthy. And she's got a rap sheet a mile long. Oh, yeah, this will be a great one. I'll give you a grand piano for all of this. I mean, it's God. And that first piece of it, she told me to say this. Who doesn't know Donna Adelson? She's everywhere. She's on the TV. She's on the news. She's on the beach. She's at work. She's at your home. She's a better variety of narcissistic murdering mother-in-law for your workday. I mean, it's she's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
God, let's continue.
Never mind, Dan, I'll ever say any of that to you.
No.
Do you know... Are you familiar at all with Charlie Adelson's trial or his trial testimony?
No, I...
Here, she laughed about how easy it was to extort, and extort is underlined. Did you underline that, or did Mrs. Adelson underline that?
I didn't underline it. Okay.
How easy it was to extort him for the money. He wouldn't have to take her out to a fancy dinner. She could buy plenty of fancy dinners with the $1/3 million. She said she fooled her baby daddy and she fooled Charlie. Sigfredo would do anything for her, and he did. Did Kay say any of this to you?
No.
Okay. Charlie was scared and easy to extort. What a stupid fool. He believed her, that she was keeping him safe from the killers. Ha ha, what a joke. Is that the type of language that Catherine McBanawa would use?
No.
Do you know her well enough to tell this jury that she wouldn't say something like, you know, what a stupid fool, ha ha, what a joke?
Yeah, she wouldn't talk like that.
But that's what Mrs. Adelson wanted you to come in and tell this jury.
Yes, ma'am.
Did she give you anything or promise you anything in exchange for reciting this script?
Well, I was in jail. I received packages and phone calls, and I was promised things as well.
What type of packages?
Packages are in jail just like a bunch of basically gas station food, but it's exciting when you're in jail.
Okay. And what about phone calls? What do you mean by that?
just the phone calls are very expensive from jail. So she would let me use her phone to call my mother and other people.
Okay. And you said she promised you other things in the future. What other types of things?
$10,000, grand piano.
What else?
She promised me cameras, but
none of that came to fruition.
No.
Okay. And what about pills? Did she mention anything to you about pills?
Yes, that if I needed pills, that I could call a doctor named, I think, Obed. I think that that's his name. Yes.
And that person would write you some prescriptions?
Yes, ma'am.
And why would you be in need of prescription medication?
I'm a recovering drug addict.
Did she tell you that if you were to be released, that you could make these phone calls, including this phone call to Dr. Obed?
Yes.
Okay. And how were you going to get these other items, like the $10,000?
The money would be through something called Zelle.
Okay. And who was going to send the money through Zelle?
Harvey.
That's her husband, Harvey Adelson.
Oh, and Harvey.
Yeah, how are you supposed to contact Harvey Adelson?
Through a phone app called Signal.
Had you ever heard of the phone app Signal before?
No, ma'am.
This is placeholder media.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay, I can't see Harvey using Zelle or Signal. I'm sorry. There are people my age that can't use those products.
Harvey, I don't think I use either of them.
Good Lord, people.
It's like Donna was, I want to say this first and foremost, because this is something I think this is the elephant in the room. Gas station food is good no matter where you are. No. Whether you're in prison, whether you're out for a drive, whether you are just hungry and want a Jack Snack Link, and you know it's questionable what sort of meat may be in that Jack Snack Link, it's still delicious. And you'll eat it. You will. And you'll like it. So that's...
I'm sorry. When she said that, I kind of went, well, that's incentive not to go to prison.
I don't know. Like, I kind of... but it seems that Donna was kind of trying to offer up anything and everything she could possibly think of. I'm just making shit up, really, at this point. Of, oh, yes, you can call... I have a friend who's a doctor. He can write you prescriptions. Do this, do that. Pretty much knowing that at the end of the day, well, once she's out the door, then she's not going to be a problem for me. I think that's how she thought. She was just going to use her as a pawn, make her believe this shit. And then at the end of the day, well, she's never going to come back and... testify against me in court.
We got a great comment. Why does it sound like a 90s late night infomercial of the Monster Ballad CD set with how she's trying to sell her story? I mean, that is so great.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
It really
best
is.
Comment of the day.
The Monster Ballad CD set.
It absolutely does, doesn't it?
There's a viewer who understands our sense of humor.
I wonder what was on the Monster Ballad CD set. That makes me wonder. It's like,
that was Kate, right? Thanks, Kate. That was stellar. You win the internet today. I'm not in charge of giving out the award, but if I were, you win.
Featuring great hits such as Benny Mardone's Sing for the Night.
Oh, no.
She's just 16 years old.
Is there a creepier song in the world than that song?
There is not.
And it still tests really well in radio.
It's creepy. The video is horrible.
It's got a nice, I'm not going to say a nice
melody
to it. Yeah, the melody is nice, but the lyrics are horrific.
Oh, my God.
That's Proberger over there talking, so keep that in mind.
Damn it, Todd.
There was one the other day I heard, and I'm like, oh, I forgot about that one. It was an oldie. It was another one of those about, like, you're too young songs.
Girl, yeah.
You'll be a woman soon?
There's another one.
Neil Diamond screwed us over on that one.
I forgot what the other, but it was like, God, it was like a format almost. It was like predatory jams for your work day.
Oh, and, God. You know,
it was. There was so
you're not
many,
wrong.
But I mean,
Ringo Starr, she's 16. There's a scary one.
Leave her alone. Yeah.
Conway Twitty, you've never been this far before. I mean, there's a lot of creepy songs out there.
There is. And it was just, I mean,
my life album right there.
Yeah, I guess wait a minute. Where are you getting these? Looking at your record collection over there, Todd?
No, Stacey. No.
This would be, these are all like in my Yacht Rock collection of music, you know? And you're just like, I'm going to fast forward that one. That's a little weird.
With your daughter sitting next to you in
exactly.
the car.
Well, she'll be like, this is insane. Like, I've shown her the Benny Mardone's video. Like, this is creepy as hell.
But there's a video for it.
Yes. And then we go and watch an episode of To Catch a Predator right after it. God. And it's like, see, this is how that all works. Harvey in this now too. This is the first time we've really heard Harvey be introduced into this more than just he was at the airport with a one-way ticket as well. At least that I can recall here in this setting. Is it Donna shooting her mouth off, or do you think Donna had a conversation with Harvey of like, you know, once she gets out, you know, she may call you and you need to do this or that, or this is when she gets out, this crazy bitch might call you, just hang up on her. It's no big deal, Harvey. You know, I wonder.
Go to the music store and get her a grand piano, which.
Yeah.
But was that just a random thing? Was this drug addict a pianist as well? I mean, where's the piano come from? I'm curious.
I wonder if the piano skills improve after taking something. Yeah. Do they get really like, oh my gosh, you're a master pianist. Thank God for Donna Adelson getting you your drugs.
Into drugs too?
I think so.
Yeah. Or an alcoholic, one or the other. There was something going on there.
I think you may have some interesting music. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if there is a double CD set that's released here shortly after Donna's in prison, where she gets out, not Donna gets out, but this the woman who was testifying gets out, falls in love with Harvey, and they make a duet album.
Oh, my God.
And it's kind of like... what's the one that Lady Gaga just redid? The album... it was originally like one of the Bee Gees and Barbara Streisand, I believe. Or was it one of the Bee Gees? A Star is Born. They're going to do A Star is Born. Oh, it'll be okay. Donna's cellmate here. And Harvey, it's going to be great. You will see. Get your pre-orders in now.
Before Christmas.
Harvey's going to be also looking just like the album cover of the original.
So I've got a quick note about Harvey that I want to bring up.
Yeah,
there's some photos out there of him, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've seen this photo. Let me pull it up for you real quick. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Him sitting in court, right? Tell me that he does not look like.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I was going there. I couldn't think of it. Is it Walter?
Walter.
Yes.
Jeff Dunham. What is Walter guy. From?
He's a comedian.
Jeff, Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, something, right?
Holy shit.
The dude with the peanut on a stick.
Yeah.
Jeff Dunham is the guy.
Jeff Dunham, yeah. He does look like the Walter Jeff Dunham character. Oh, my God.
Like,
yeah,
completely. I saw that picture yesterday. I'm like, holy crap.
I've been looking and going, he looks familiar. I've been saying Elmer Fudd.
He's a little Fuddish, but I think Walter is the new, yeah, look at that frown. I'm
sitting there right between you guys. That's perfect.
It's pretty creepy. Put my arm around him or something. Here's another one. Do you ever watch the Trailer Park Boys?
Yeah.
Jim Leahy is another one that he kind of looks like from that show. Jim Leahy.
I can't unsee that in my head.
And he's dead. He died recently, the actor in that. But that's another one. Here's another clip from the testimony. This is a shorter one because, of course, they don't have a lot of witnesses for Donna, it seems.
Yeah.
That's why Donna is likely going to be taking the stand here. Like right now, as we're recording this, like Wendy's divorce attorney is on the stand. It's like, who can we get to show up and say something? Because the experts really haven't done a whole lot other than it basically confirmed she was in prison. This is her best friend on the stand talking about what a lovely individual Donna is. And because she says it, well, gosh darn it, the jury should probably just believe it and go home. Let's take a look.
Have you ever heard her threaten anyone?
Never.
Have you ever seen her harm anyone?
Never.
Have you ever heard her threaten to have somebody harmed?
No.
Did she ever make statements to you? Well, let me ask you this first. You were friends with her, obviously, when Wendy was going through her divorce.
Yes.
During that time period, through the divorce, And up to the time that Danny Markell was killed, you're aware that he was murdered?
Yes.
Okay. At any time during that period, did she ever say she wanted to have Danny Markell killed?
Never.
Ever say she wanted him to be harmed?
Never.
Okay.
Did she ever tell you that she was being extorted in reference to Mr. Markell's murder?
Eventually, yes.
When she went to Vietnam, or was trying to go to Vietnam to clear her head, she was going to clear her head in a non-extradition country. Can you agree with that?
I wasn't aware it was non-extradition.
Did Don ever tell you she wasn't coming back?
Never.
Well, there you go. Case closed.
You know, it makes me wonder, like, what would my best friend know? Bum, bum, bum.
Well,
the
officers, there's a lot of tape here that we should be going over. She said a lot of things that I can't deny that she said. So,
right. I don't know. I feel like Donna has her coffee friends, and then she has her people. You know.
Was that a coffee friend? I think it was a coffee friend.
That was a coffee friend. She doesn't know all the intricacies of Donna's family.
That'd be very much, if she ever accepts the reality of who Donna is, I just couldn't believe that she was. It's too scary. It's too much. It's too shaking, I think, to think of someone like that. Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, kind of casual acquaintances, you enjoy the Mick coffee every now and then and the hash brown. And it's like, that couldn't be. That couldn't be Donna from the coffee clutch. It just couldn't.
Nope. We talked about crocheting and the beautiful plants that I just got at the nursery. I mean, that's probably the depth of that relationship.
And gingivitis. You know what to do about gingivitis?
Gingivitis. Yes.
I'll have my son call you.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.